Well, welcome again to the Poopers in the Popcorn. Correct. I'm Stuart. I'm here with Lauren.
Hello.
Tro.
Hello, Tro.
And special super guest, Vince.
Hello.
We couldn't get Michael Bay.
Thank God. Vince is here because, partly because he wanted dinner and partly because Transformers was his entire childhood.
Yeah, ruined now. Absolutely ruined.
We're watching Transformers 2. Oh. And there were so many characters, you hardly got a chance to learn about.
That's what I like the most about this film, the number of characters.
And the number of slow motion tracking shots and boobs.
Boob shake.
Boobs.
Lesson number one.
I don't know if you remember this far back, seeing as this film was about 5 hours long, but the first question I wrote down was, what rhymes with home theatre?
Yeah,
A line that's integral to the plot. I was thinking for a long time. You may realise I was silent for the next hour after this, and the best I got was Jermaine Greer. I don't think that rhyme is home theatre. Anyone else got a rhyme for home theatre?
I wasn't thinking about.
Maybe it was like a director's nod to some like oranges, which doesn't have any natural rhymes.
Alright, your challenge is by the end of this episode to come up with a rhyme for home theatre.
I think amphitheatre. I don't care if it's got theatre in it, because it's just one word. So
that's the same word.
You can rhyme oranges with like red oranges, for example.
No, because yeah. because red oranges are two words. Amphitheatre is one.
Lección número dos.
With reference to dogs humping, the mother says, you'll see a lot of that in college.
Actually, we see a lot of that in this. Like, a robot Megan Fox thing, and disturbingly, Megan Fox liked it, but you didn't see him ejaculate Diesel. That was probably a scene which they cut out.
But
robot also humped Shia LaBeouf, the hot Megan Fox lookalike.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Was actually
there was silver tongue-a-lingus.
Tongue-lingus?
Robolingus?
Go-go gadget cunnilingus happened.
It was more like a tongue strangling.
That was the one thing missing from the show.
Sorry, I interpreted.
Right, do you see a lot of metaphorical dog humping in college or university? His astronomy lecturer was full of hot women, even though it became astrology at one point, and then relativity.
It was still hot women in astrology, and really that wouldn't happen, would it?
I saw metaphorical humping.
I heard humping.
So did everyone hear humping?
Yeah, I heard a lot of humping,
Oh my god.
The girl that lived above me humped a lot.
Well, that's not name names. Does she live right above you?
Like inches.
Like...
Humping as well.
Oh, no wonder it was so loud. I think Michael Bay has actually apologised for that kind of humour in the film.
Really?
I mean, he's got a lot to apologise for, but that's one of the things he's actually apologised for.
That's first on his list.
He's not famous for apologising, is he?
Is there anyone that's famous for apologising, though, Troy?
Nixon
is famous.
Tiger
President
Woods?
Clinton?
Badly Clinton. Drawn boy says, I'm sorry.
Lezione numero tre.
So, our main character, Sam Wiggity-Wiggity-Whack, back in the shack. He makes a big point about saying he can't take his transforming car to college with him, even though it's a pretty cool car, and babes love cars, and friends love cars, and it transforms, and it's his best friend. Why can't he take his car to college?
I think it
Why
was in the
Why can't he take his car to college?
Because he can't drive it to, like, the East Coast.
He didn't want to get stuck. He wanted to live his proper life. Without the you know the stigma attached of being involved in an intergalactic robot fight,
that car would just come into his dorm room all the time and be like, what is
and it was it was even freakier than like Short Circuit. It could literally only talk in things from popular movies.
It's interesting. At the end of the first film, he gained his voice back, and his voice was actually terrible. And then they just decided for the second film that was clearly unpopular. They just gave him voice problems again.
He could just use sound clips from Quantum Leap. It's got loads of sounds in it. Loads of, sci-fi.
Into the canon. What was Bumblebee like in real Transformers?
Bumblebee, he was cool, yeah.
Thank God we got an expert here.
What do you want me to say?
No, I mean, did he speak in sound bites?
Oh, no, not at all.
Leçon numéro 4.
Can your first love survive college?
No. As in, like, literally.
How many loves did you lose when they went to college?
Oh, a good dozen. Good
dozen.
Sam wiggly wiggly whacked back to the chat. He's challenged by his mother into believing that,
challenge.
You know, him and Megan Fox. I don't even know what her real name was. Michaela Boomshake.
Was it Michaela?
Okay,
yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, he says he doesn't last, you know, he shouldn't be carrying on his relationship with
her. But then he stands her up for the go-go gadget, tongue around you.
But it was a bit weird. The whole time of the thing, he said that he had webcam date with her.
Yeah, and then he didn't.
It was at the exact time that he was arriving at the party, so clearly he was going to miss it anyway. If it wasn't for the girl,
Vince, you've done long distance relationships.
I've done web.
What would you say about this?
Long distance relationships are hard.
True, you've done long distance. Why throw it at Vince?
Yeah, but I don't think he Skyped it.
I did, but Skype was awkward. I think, you know how you're slightly always looking slightly above someone's head. I mean, that is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
For the rest of this conversation, I'm going to look slightly above all of your heads. I see how you like
it. It's really disconcerting.
You can't see this over the airwaves, but...
Mine and Stuart's only ever experience of a long-distance relationship was when he went away for work for 2 days and we talked on the web. But he had his man voice setting on his computer. And I was like, darling, I miss you from work.
What happened was, previously, like weeks before, we've been playing with the audio card where you can be like a girl voice or a really
an
deep
old lady voice.
James voice. And I'd forgotten about it. And we were talking and Lauren was like, why do you sound so deep? I don't understand. You sound hilarious. Now, in a non-Skype setting, I think the period where you go through college, you actually change massively from, like, boy to man or girl to whatever. And I think that when you leave college, you are actually completely different person than you started. And it takes quite a big effort for you to both get through that transitional stage and come out the other side.
The arc of college.
Loads of people have been destroyed by college.
It's hard to...
By people, I mean relationships.
It's hard to maintain a relationship and not feel like you're 1 foot, you know, out of your university experience, you know? So the lesson is, your love will not survive college.
Sorry. Give it a go.
But it will survive 2 days away at work.
Yeah. And
voice transposition.
And it will survive international conflict between robots in Egypt. It will survive that.
Probably
it's going to go on to fail in college.
Yeah.
Lesson sur go.
If God made humans in his image, who made Optimus Prime?
That question really annoyed me because Optimus Prime didn't. He made himself into a lorry.
Can you explain yourself?
Well,
that was in the Bible.
I mean, this is one thing where they got it from the cartoons. There was, actually, before Transformers the movie, there was another movie, which was like the prequel. Transformers come to Earth, and they look, and they scan a lorry, or they scan a car, and they decide that that's the shape they're going to be to fit in.
I don't think he was looking at a lorry when he said that. He was looking at Optimus Prime's original. God made us like we are. Who the fuck made lorries?
So are they saying
because we could just say that in any kind of like Roman film, you know,
it was
quite clearly God. We're assuming God exists. Didn't just make humans. It's like saying who the fuck made rabbits.
No, whoa. I think we're just playing the ignorance here. I think most Christians think that God made us like we're special. Rabbits are not special.
So are robots special?
Well, that is the philosophical question raised by the black arm. Oh, and
he was a different lorry in the cartoons, by the way. That was a big bone of contention.
What thing would you be on Earth if you can come down and scan anything?
No,
that's boring.
No, wait, what would you be? What would you be, Lauren?
I'd be a radiator. Simply because that's the first thing I saw behind you.
No one would suspect the radiator.
What would I be?
Megan Fox.
I don't think they can do that. I think it's like Terminator. They can't make anything which is...
apart from that hot
It's
girl.
Completely not like Terminator, by the way.
Okay.
I would be a pair of roller skates.
Oh, no one suspects roller
skates. But you have to tie the shoelaces together because I don't want to be separated from myself. But if you were a radiator, you couldn't be destroyed.
Yes, you could.
No.
You're saying this radiator here is indestructible.
I'm saying that if you threw a lorry, it would burst into a million pieces. If you threw a radiator, it'd just go clunk.
Okay, going back, at some point, Optimus Prime looked at the Earth and he said, I don't want to be a dinosaur, I don't want to be a radiator, I don't want to be a skyscraper, I don't want to be any of that kind of shit. I want to be a lorry, okay?
Oh, my dear, my JJ, before, massive, awesome things.
Before that point, he was theoretically a robot in his normal kind of standing up form. Is that itself based on something else? And what was he before that?
He was an ape.
Interesting question.
What's the evolution?
You know, he was always a humanoid when he was...
Always a humanoid.
You know...
So that supports the god?
Off the job.
That supports god, doesn't it? No?
Well, I guess.
A humanoid...
Eat that, dog.
It does point to a humanoid-shaped... deity created both the humans and the Transformers.
But not the apes. They're not allowed.
Not the apes, no, not the apes.
Okay, so that answered that question.
Lection number six.
Who are robots to judge what's best for humans?
We're back to Bicentennial Man, aren't we? We've come full short circuit.
Well, Bicentennial Man never judged. Bicentennial Man was judged.
He just wanted to live.
What was best for robots, but now...
Oh, that's come full circle.
To go full circle from another podcast, can't remember what one now. Robots are reason free of passion. That was Aristotle.
Like Aristotle said something about robots.
The law in it.
I like Bicentennial.
Wait, Aristotle can also say something about robots. Robots didn't exist.
I'm saying he's saying he said the law is reason free from passion.
Oh, I thought he said robots are the reason free from passion.
And that's
so in the future, maybe we'll build a robot or an intelligence that's so intelligent that it can decide, you know, what is good and what is bad.
And then
that robot can decide what's best for us.
Okay.
But that is, but then Will Smith gets a shotgun
and
destroys said robot.
And a cyber arm.
Oh, hell no.
Exactly.
Well, that is what happened to iRobot, isn't it?
He shows that actually humans, although we're imperfect, we're a bit canny, and we don't want robots to tell us what to do. Again, here...
Live by our own rules.
If we literally gave the Autobots everything they wanted and said, like, destroy Megatron and his kin, then we would have been fine, basically.
I think this is one of the only films where it was actually right to put our trust in robots, and we're not proved fools in the end.
The good robots.
Even Bumblebee knew that he should go to college with Sam.
I mean, have you seen the original cut rape ending of Bicentennial Man?
What?
Oh my god.
Never trust the robot.
Little Mitch.
And he winks at the screen and fades to black.
Short Circuit was a good robot, but he probably couldn't judge what's best for us.
No, he was naive. The rest of he was short circuited, so he was like not really functioning properly. But the rest of his family, whatever you want to call them, the other robots, they were evil, I think, and he had to track them down in the first place. There were good, stupid robots like Wally, but to have good, clever, courageous robots...
Can judge what's best for humans.
Terminator, in Terminator 2, he was a good robot. He could judge what was best.
Yeah, but in general, robots aren't good. I mean, he has to destroy himself.
There was a robot in Rocky.
Because he's so bad. Universal Soldier? No, don't know that bad. No, wait,
to go back...
Does no one remember Rocky with a robot?
No, come from.
For God's sake, IMDb, there was a robot.
Oh, no, I believe you. There's something to do with, does he live with Apollo Creed?
And he's got a really big round head.
Terminator 2, just to go back to it, he only knew what was best for humans after he was taught by humans. Because originally he just wanted to say, killing this guy will end the war. And he's like, no, you can't kill humans. That's inhumane.
It's true, John Connor did teach
him. What is his last name?
I now know why you cry, but it is something I can never do. Lower me into the steel.
No, he's much better than lower me into the steel. He's just like, there is one left.
There is one more chip, and it must be destroyed also.
So, some robots are good.
I mean, these are the only robots that are actually any good at judging what's best for humans, but they don't want to.
And they weren't made by humans.
I think that I would absolutely trust a robot with the legislation and enforcement of the rules of my country.
So would I.
A Roomba.
No, not a Roomba, like Judge Dredd, but like massive. Judge Dredd isn't a robot, I know that. But I mean, like, is he?
No.
But, would you? Okay, Lauren would. I would put my faith in a really clever computer.
So are you asking if I'd put my faith in our entire justice system in massive Judge Dredd?
Yeah.
There's no room for error, is there? I mean...
But could we engineer a massively good robot that could look after us? It has lots of little police robots like Robocop.
Let me tell you something about robots and something about judges.
Okay.
With the law and humanity in general, there is grey areas which, you know, the human mind has the ability to kind of see through and make those kind of nuanced judgments.
Oh, as
robots are very black and white.
As a mathematician.
Especially
as a mathematician. You're talking about the robots we know of.
Yeah.
I think Troy's talking about if we could
make a subtle, nuanced robot.
Yeah, fuzzy logic.
I think it has to feel compassion.
Bumblebee felt compassion.
Data, he sort of learned how to be more human, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he learned how to sort of have emotions.
He could fight better than us. And he was funnier than the rest of the people in that ship. And he was, he would have been a good...
To be good fighters?
Yeah.
Well, Judge Dredd was a good... I mean, Judge Dredd was a bad example to cite.
They need the ability to be good fighters, so, you know, you have their respect.
No? I always wondered, if you get a robot, right, and it's just, it's taught how to learn, but nothing else, it doesn't have any knowledge, and then you sort of teach it things over time, you let it develop like a, like you teach a child.
Like Edward Scissorhands.
Like that, not really.
Like any child, they don't even have scissors on their fucking hands.
He was a whisk and a pair of scissors when he first was born.
Anyway, so if you got that robot and you taught it over time slowly and it built up all these layers of knowledge and eventually it sort of reached maturity where it could, you know, do things for itself, it could play the piano, it could, you know, make decisions, it could cook lasagna, all these things.
He's not a robot.
And then you took the hard drive out, and then you just copied it loads. It would just be a bit weird, wouldn't it? Because it would have all the combined experience.
Well, you'd have a load of robotic piano playing lasagna chefs.
But it's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? Because it's that one robot that has built up and learned over time, and then you're just copying it.
The internet is pure truth.
That's obviously wrong.
You've got to think a little bit more carefully about these. Obviously, this is absolutely correct.
Do you think the internet contains all truth somewhere?
Well, exactly. That's a good
answer. All truth. Is there such a thing as all truth?
I'm not sure if it's pure truth because of the lies.
Well, there's a lyric from a song that I know. There are many
versions of the truth.
Each one a chess move. So, you know, I think
the internet represents... Everyone's just a massive crap bag on the internet.
Yeah, it's the anonymity of it, isn't it? You can say whatever you like.
If we didn't have to face...
That's true. That is your internet thing. That reveals your inner demon.
This is what people would be like to each other if they didn't have to face up to, you know, the
responsibility.
The responsibility.
But the truth will out.
They
That's
hit
a phrase.
It there and a bigotry comes out.
It's not really a phrase that applies to the internet, though, is it? I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, let's look at
it's
Wikipedia.
Not like,
I mean,
it's not like
Wikipedia.
The internet as a being strives for truth.
It's amazing stuff.
Well, I think it approximates the truth on things like Wikipedia.
But I think it's more fun to go on something that's completely against your viewpoint and look at it. But really, actually, as opposed to sort of enlightening me as to the opposite view, actually enrages me so much. But I'm addicted to the rage rather than going, why? Why would you think that?
That is, you know, the thesis, antithesis, synthesis. That's the struggle for truth, and the internet, you know, is a good forum for that because you.
This is a dialogue.
How do you know it's going to work?
Because I believe.
That's used so often in films, isn't it?
What else could he say? Because it might?
Well, because I evaluated it using the available information would be better.
This is a true analyst talking. Because I'd make a spreadsheet and this was the best possible option, okay?
We could have said, because I know about this kind of stuff.
Well, surely it was LaBeouf. It was the
Sam Wickedywack.
Oh yeah, it was.
Take it back, Jack. Send it to Michaela. He's Megan Fox boob shaker. How do you know it's gonna work?
Because I believe. And it wasn't because he believed it. It was because his brain had been implanted with ancient wisdom from the robotic, from the Fallen.
This exact scenario is he found the one thing he needed, accidentally broke it into dust, and then put it in a sock.
One of the great things about the original Transformers film is that they have the titling at the beginning is this. Big voice says, "It is the year 2005. What was the question?
So we're agreed that belief is good enough to know it's going to work.
I don't think any of us believe in anything. So,
no.
Well, would you do something if you didn't really believe it? No, of course you would.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You've got to believe it.
Well, I mean,
there's also trust.
What are we casting?
Trust involves belief. You've got to believe something.
What are we casting faith, or are we talking about? As Stuart says, analysing the situation and coming up with the best possible...
I think that counts, but within the context of the film, it was he just believed it. I think it was hope, really. I think it was hope disguised.
It was faith.
And Michael Bay was making a comment on religious belief in today's society with the film Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen.
A positive one, yeah.
It really was quite a good film, actually, when you look at it in that light.
Yeah, if you look at it as a neo-Christian fable, then yeah, it's pretty good.
Really good film, actually.
If you have comments, feedback, or suggestions for films to watch, email theproofisinthepopcorn@gmail.com.
I challenge the viewers to go and watch that film and find a single frame of footage where the camera is not moving either forwards, backwards, or around. No. She was Michaela the Mechanic.
Oh my god! Wasn't that a band? I think I was ripped off. He said it was a dinosaur.
It was a dinosaur and a fish.
Yeah, it was a fish dinosaur.
That really got me. There is a Matrix of leadership, but that was not it.
Give us the
cannon. That looked like a ninja. That looked like a tiny little ninja throwing star.
Sure, okay.
Not the proper crystal maze sort of thing. You open up and then Stan Bush sings "You've Got the Touch," and then, you know, the music plays, the 80s synthesizer, and then you destroy the planet Unicron, you know?
Yeah.